Well, I'm very pleased to be able to introduce John Dura and welcome back to you tonight. I'm very grateful for him coming because he's flying back to New York at 12 o'clock tomorrow. And he's only been over here for a couple of weeks and he's already committed to hundreds of other readings here. He's sort of come up tonight just specially to be here. You've all had the handout that probably that I've been circulating, so you know what he's been writing and so on, what he's writing now. So I'd just like to say welcome to Warwick University and let you take over from there. Thank you.
I don't know what's been circulating. I'll begin by doing one, perhaps two, poems translated from the Navajo Indian, in which I try to show immediately what's going on in the Navajo, not by singing in the Navajo style, but by doing a kind of complete translation out of that towards a new poem in the English. So what ends up being translated, because this is the nature of much Navajo, much American Indian poetry, not only the words, but the so-called meaningless sounds, nonsense sounds, sounds that aren't supposed to be translatable, distortions of words, and finally the music also translated and also coming along into the English from a series of 17 medicine songs, horse blessing songs for the care and cure of horses that were in the Navajo part of the blessing way of a Navajo medicine man named Frank Mitchell. In the sacred narrative that accompanies this, I mean, that is that everybody understands, the hero, enemy slayer, has gone to the house of his father, the sun god, to bring back horses for the people, to the home of his mother, changing woman, who is the earth. I'll start by chanting the 10th horse song, the translation of the 10th horse song of Frank Mitchell, in which the sun god is giving enemy slayer the horses and telling him to bring them back to earth. And there's a kind of shift of voice in this, see, between the sun god and enemy slayer. Go to her, my son, the sun god is speaking, because I was the boy raised in the dawn, enemy slayer speaking. And then the rest carries it along with sound and music. The 10th horse song of Frank Mitchell. Go to her, my son, 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 because I was boy raised in the dawn, go to her, my son, and leaving from the house in the blue stone home, go to her, my son, and leaving from the house, the shining home, go to her, my son, and leaving from the swollen house, my breath has blown, go to her, my son, and leaving from the house the holy home moon, God help my son moon, moon. And from the house of precious cloth we walk upon the moon, God help my son moon. With prayer sticks that are blue, noon, God, I heard my son, noon, con. With my feathers that are blue, noon, God, I heard my son, noon, con. With my spirit horses that are blue, noon, God, I heard my son, noon, con. With my spirit horses that are blue and dawn and wind, God, I heard my son, moon. With my spirit horses that are blue stone and ruin, God, I heard my son, moon. With my horses that are blue stone and ruin, God, I heard my son, moon. With cloth of every kind to draw them on, God, I heard my son, moon. With jewels of every kind to draw them on, God, I heard my son, moon. With horses of every kind to draw them on, God, I heard my son, moon. With sheep of every kind to draw them on, God, I heard my son, moon. With cattle of every kind to draw them on, God, I heard my son, moon. With men of every kind to lead and draw them on, God, I heard my son, moon. From my house of precious cloth to her back at the room and con, God, I heard my son, moon. In her house of precious cloth we walk upon moon, God, I heard my son, moon. Everything that's gone before and more we walk upon, God, I heard my son, moon. And everything that's more and more be poor and con, God, I heard my son, moon. And everything that's living to be old and blessed, moon, God, I heard my son, moon. Cause I am boy who blesses to me old and can, God, I heard my son, moon. 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 Before I do any poetry in a speaking voice, all the images in that one, the objects referred to are blue. In the tends to be the case in the odd numbered, the even numbered songs, the the references are blue. In the odd number songs, the references are white. The group that I've translated is from a part of that cycle of 17 songs, in which there are kind of minimal changes from one to the other. But you know, certainly in the area of the music and of the sound and of the refrains. So this is a change into the 13th horse song of Frank Mitchell, White. And the narrative just moves slowly. Navajos are very patient about, you know, about movement. So at this point, there's been a slight transition, and Enemy Slayer imagines how beautiful the horses will be at that point in the future when they've returned, you know, to Earth and have become not spirit horses, but the actual horses that the people ride. The 13th horse song of Frank Mitchell, White. John. Summer lovely now, but summer, and are at my house now. Summer lovely and how, but summer, and are at my house now. Summer lovely now, but some are, and are at my house now. Because I wasn't gone, I was the boy inside the dawn, but summer at my house now. And by going from the house, the white shell hold known, but summer at my house now. And by going from the house, the darkened Hogan Omban, summer at my house. And by going from the swollen Hogan house, my breath has blown, and summer at my house. And by going from the house, the slowly hung and home, but summer at my house. And from the place of jewels, we walk not on pond, but summer at my own now. With a prayer sticks, not a white nuclear moon, summer at my house. With my feathers that are white and gone, but summer at my house. My spirit horses that are white and gone, but summer at my house. My spirit horses that are white and dawn to come, but summer at my house. With those spirit horses that are white shall now burn, summer at my house. With those horn horses that are white shall now, but summer at my house now. Jewels of every kind, go and draw them on, but summer at my home, with a cloth of every kind, go and draw them on, but summer at my home, with a sheep of every kind, goat and draw them on, but summer at my house. he kind of go, draw them on, but some at my own wing with a cattle of every kind of goat, draw them on, but some at my own wing. Men of every kind goat and draw them on and some are at my home on my wing in my house of precious jewels in my back room and can wear but some are at my own my wing in this house of precious jewels we walk Pontin' con wearin' but some are at my home, my wing, and everything that's gone before more we walk upon, but some are at my home, my wing, and everything that's more. Won't be thee be poor but summer at my house noon my wing and everything that's now and living to me old and blessed home and summer at my own my wing being cause I am the boy who blesses to be home but summer at my house noon my wing lovely now, but some and are at my hound now's one my wings lovely now, but some and are at my house no my wings lovely now. But some and are at my houses. None by none wing, but no by wing. If any of you know any Navajo poetry, if any of that's come across, that notion of loveliness or beauty is it's one of the you know the great pervasive themes in that maybe although it's not really a translation I worked on if you don't know that to get into the to the part where the music, in that sense, drops out of the poetry. Poetry is always trying to get back to the music. This is a translation of a part of another horse song sequence called "War God's Horse Song," but "War God" is enemy slavery. Yeah. And here he goes into just a spaced out description of the horses. I am the turquoise woman's son, on top of beautiful mountain. On top of belted mountain, beautiful horses, slim like a weasel. My horse with a hoof like a striped agate, with his fetlock like a fine eagle plume. My horse whose legs are like quick lightning, whose body is an eagle plume and arrow. My horse whose tail is like a trailing black cloud. The little holy wind blows through his hair. My horse with a mane made of short rainbows. My horse with ears made of round corn. My horse with eyes made of big stars. My horse with a head made of mixed water. My horse with teeth made of white shell. The long rainbow is in his mouth for a bridle, and with it I guide him. When my horse neighs, different colored horses follow. When my horse neighs, different colored sheep follow. I am wealthy because of him. Before me peaceful, behind me peaceful, under me peaceful, over me peaceful, peaceful voice when he neighs. I am everlasting and peaceful. I stand for my horse. The other Navajo behind me beauty, before me beauty. beauty, ugly beauty, ugly beauty. Same word is what's translated there as peaceful. Read some poems also brought into English through translation or similar process. From the Indian, in which the central notion is the thing seen, the vision, what appears in the vision. And the first two of these, one called the net of moon, one called the net of sun, from the Pawnee Indian. There isn't, if you're very strict about the term, there isn't an actual poem at the beginning of these songs. It's taken from descriptions of what a man saw, two different men. One who had a vision of moon, one who had a vision of sun. And it was in the context of a religious and political movement among many Indians of the plains and the western states and States. In the 1880s and 90s, called the Ghost Dance, which looked towards a reestablishment of an Indian America in which the dead would come back to life, and all the Indian slain in wars would come back to life, and the land would be restored. Subtitle of this is a Pawnee hand game vision. Because the simplest, most mundane activities would be brought into the visionary and religious nexus. So the hand game is simply which hand is the coin in the stick or whatever. But there were many elaborations on the hand game, and new hand games would be dreamed by Indians. New songs would dream vision. And that was the center. That was the way the activities would be renewed and reinvigorated, given new life. This one eventually, both of these lead to the reestablishment of the hand gaze. But in the first one, it's what's given is that it's simply what the man sees. He sees the moon. It's called the net of moon, dedicated to the. American poet Paul Blackburn, who died recently, who also had a way in his not a visionary poet, but the things in his vision, in the way he saw would suddenly become very real for him. And he had a poem called The Net of Moon, and something about this reminded me very much. The Net of Moon, a Pawnee hand game vision. Full moonlit night, people playing the hand game in a tent. Everyone goes outside to dance. One man gets shaky, then starts crying, hands up to the moon, he says. I felt it, something in my mind. When we went out, it seemed I would be seeing something. It was coming. We went out when we were dancing. I suddenly looked up at the moon. Old moon looks down and sees me and laughs at me. That's when I cried. The net of sun, a second pointing hand game vision. Saw a large circle of people above on the fourth day. Saw things whirling in the sun, crows flying around the sun and flying over him. An eagle feather in the whirling sun, then saw a black sun streaked with white was coming toward him. When he stood up, he could see a buffalo stuck his head out of the sun. And just at sundown, Jesus was standing in the western sun and stretched a hand to him. Jesus there is probably an Indian named Jack Wilson of Wovoka, who's the Messiah of the Ghost Dance religion. But in the terms of that religion, of course, it's something Jesus is commonly understood. The next is from sacred narrative of the Oto Buffalo Medicine Society. Again, the image of the buffalo. And again, it starts from something in your world, in my world, if we were there, we'd see too. Within it, the image of the buffalo, when there were buffalo on the Great Plains, who were largely wiped out through exploitation of that ecology. When there were buffalo on the Great Plains, and many flowers there, the image that comes through this is the buffalo surrounded by the flowers. But what it tells is how the Buffalo Medicine Society was founded. It's the story of the founder going in the visionary experience from being a boy to being an old man, but very quickly, and described as a journey through the seasons, starting in summer. A journey through the seasons came in summer to a field of buffaloes. Saw old buffaloes were covered head and back with goldenrod, and some with sunflowers wrapped around their horns. In winter, it was gone. He changed along with it, had been a boy that spring, that same day maybe, or that evening, was an old man now, a doctor, and it began to snow. The next couple are peyote songs from Mexico. They're not part of the peyote church, Native American church up north in the United States, which is an intertribal phenomenon. Part of the religion of the Huicho Indians in Mexico. In these, the Christian elements don't appear. Rather, it focuses on a god called Tahomatz, who is the peyote, who is identified as animal with a blue stag, and a whole series of identifications and associations you can pick up right from this poem. Peyote is Tahomatz's blue stag, is the flower rose, is dew, fog, wind, and so forth. Viracocha at the beginning of the poem is the home of the god. First peyote song. Viracocha, Viracocha, where the roses are born, where they flower, garlands of flowers and wind. Viracocha, at the foot of eternal mountain, roses are breathing, breath of the god, the mother's moist love, the dew, and from the peyote's heart, fog emerges, blue stag emerges, rain comes down, blue stag comes down, maize takes root, the rose lies open, and the rose sings, I am the stag, and the stag, I am the rose. And there on the earth of the gods they hear singing, the gods are singing, the mountains, the hills are singing, and the roses are singing, the song of life in Viracocha, only heard in Viracocha, the eternal song of life, only there and heard in Viracocha. Song of an Initiate. Climb the blue staircase up to sky, climb where the roses were opening, where roses were speaking, heard nothing, nothing to hear, heard silence. I climbed where the roses were singing, where the gods were waiting, blue staircase up in the sky, but heard nothing, nothing to hear, heard silence, silence. What happens in the next one is it's a translation of a song. It's from the Papago Indian in southern Arizona. Part of a yearly festival of the saguaro cactus, huge cactuses. From the saguaro cactus, they brew an alcoholic
drink on which they get smashed. You know, and in the process of that, visions appear also. This is towards the end of the ceremonies, a song for the final drunkenness. All this dizziness must be getting me, or getting close to me, and damned if I don't like it. Very far away it's taking me out to Flatland. I can even see this dizziness high up above us. Must be I like it too. Way out there they're taking me, giving me dizziness to drink. Way down yonder at foot of Little Gray Mountain, I'm sitting and getting smashed. Beautiful songs I shall unfold. Wow, all them little playful women. Little playful women. Where'd they get all that dizziness? That's what's making my heart drunk. Little playful women, when they're dizzy, I know that's when they're going to come and get me. Dizzy women are grabbing hold of my heart, leading me out west, and damn, but I like it, one on each side, and moving me. Such a lot of dizziness I've got, swelling up inside me, more and more, until I'm falling every way I go. Some pieces I do, translation is one form of composition.
Also tell the other thing, it's one form of composition.
In the second half, I'll take a break at some point, the other forms of composition. When you get away from what I was doing at the beginning, you know, which is to supply a lot of information, you know, about the original, from the original, and just give the words, you know, and not sing them, that's, you know, giving a part of what was a whole thing. And it's got its values, too. A certain point, realizing that it was even a fuller situation for the Indians, because they were doing things for many tribal groups where poetry is an active force, where it's a way of being in the world, so it's not literature. You know, literature is not what we're talking about, but poetry is what we're talking about, much different. The ritual events, the activities, you know, like our happenings, are a thing in themselves to be looked at. So I've done I've isolated in a number of pieces the events, you know, not the words, but the events, what's going on, what's happening. From the Iroquois, two dream events. Dream event one. After having a dream, let someone else guess what it was, then have everyone act it out together. And there were interesting results from that. Dream event two. Have participants run around the center of the village acting out their dreams and demanding that others guess and satisfy them. Navajo mud events. Mud events. One, the organizers of the event strip down and smear themselves and each other with mud and water from head to foot. They dip their headbands in mud before tying back their hair. Two, the participants run and dance about, then ask others to join them, lifting the newcomers high in the air, tossing them up and catching them again, or throwing them up and down in a blanket. Three, a small piece of sheepskin with a red blotch in the center, a fresh menstrual blood, excretion from the sore of a horse, etc., is rubbed on the heads and backs of participants. Some are made to sit on it. Four, participants run into the audience and pull horsemen off their horses, then they oblige them to undress and join the mud event. The horsemen are smeared from foot to head, especially the back, face, and hair. The original participants blow upon them, spit on them, and put mud into their mouths. Horses are also caught and bathed with mud. Five, at the end of the event, the organizers lie down flat on their stomachs, one in line behind the other, and so close that the head of each one touches the feet of the one in front of him. The last one gets up,
walks along the trail of bodies and lies down. The next one does the same in leapfrog style until each participant has walked the length of the entire line. Some actually step on the prostrate bodies while others place their feet on the ground close by the men. When this is over, all the participants stand up, form a snake line, and run over to a spring of water where they sprinkle cornmeal on themselves and wash. It's a Kwakiutl Indian gift event in the northwest coast. It's kind of found poem too. All of the words are taken from Kwakiutl Indian accounts of how you do a gift event. Now this in the original terminology and as it turns up in anthropology books, it's called potlatch. And it's usually described as a kind of psychopathic episode among Indians in which it's kind of a tremendous orgy of conspicuous consumption, trying to show how much money they have, how wealthy they are, and so forth. To a degree, this is true. But this is, as the source from which it comes describes it, the amiable side of the Kwakiutl potlatch. And it really comes out of asking the question, what do you do when you give a potlatch? Gift event. Start by giving away different colored glass bowls. Have everyone give everyone else a glass bowl. Give away handkerchiefs and soap and things like that. Give away a sack of clams and a roll of toilet paper. Give away teddy bear candies, apples, suckers, and oranges. Give away pigs and geese and chickens, or pretend to do so. Pretend to be different things. Have the women pretend to be crows. Have the men pretend to be something else. Talk Chinese or something. Make a narrow place at the entrance of a house and put a line at the end of it that you have to stoop under to get in. Hang the line with all sorts of pots and pans to make a big noise. Give away frying pans while saying things like, here is this frying pan worth $100 and this one worth $200. Give everyone a new name. Give a name to a grandchild or think of something and go and get everything. And then naming is part of the ongoing verbal activity. Each man has many names in his life, and there are occasions for taking on new names. This is a series of, again, a Papago Indian naming events. One, a shaman has a dream and names a child for what he dreams in it. Among such names are circling light, rushing light beams, daylight comes, wind rainbow, wind leaves, rainbow shaman, feather leaves, a rainbow is a bow, shining beetle, singing dawn, hawk flying over water holes, flowers trembling, chief of jackrabbits, water drops on leaves, short wings, leaf blossoms, only water. Two. A person receives a name describing something odd about him, always on the bad side. Such names include grasshopper ate his arrow, gambler, ass side to the fire, pants fall down, blisters, fish smell mouth, bedwetter, rat ear, yellow legs. This is the three. A person receives a name describing something odd and sexual about the namer. Here the namer is a woman or a transvestite who makes the name public by shouting it after the man named when others are present. The man invariably accepts it and is regularly called by it even by his wife and family. Such names include down dangling pussy hairs, big cunt, long asshole. Four, a group of namers gathers around the dead enemy and shouts abusive names at the body. These names are then given to the shouters. They include long bones, full of dirt, back of a wildcat, yellow face, and gold breasts, the latter spoken of a girl. Five, a person buys a name or trades names with another person. For example, devil old man exchanges names with contrary, or looking for girls at a dance, changes with big crazy, but has to give him 4 pints of whiskey in addition because of the desirability of the name.
And the last of these are a mixture of, of what's comic and, and crazy, and very serious at the same time. A crow society, really a warrior society called the Crazy Dogs, who were given to desperate and contrary behavior in the world, which they would carry through to the, to the point of death if it, if it came to it. But also what the anthropologist Lowy calls the, highest development of the crow spirit. Crazy dog events. One, act like a crazy dog. Wear sashes and other fine clothes, carry a rattle, and dance along the road singing crazy dog songs after everybody else has gone to bed. Two, talk crosswise. Say the opposite of what you mean and make others say the opposite of what they mean in return. Three, fight like a fool by rushing up to an enemy and offering to be killed. Dig a hole near an enemy, and when the enemy surrounds it, leap out at them and drive them back. Four, paint yourself white, mount a white horse, cover its eyes and make it jump down a steep and rocky bank until both of you are crushed. I'll do the rattle. But back, before I do, I'll do a sign language event. One of the things you can find is sort of constant transformations of language, of, the construction of new languages. Maybe languages developed by tribal people who aren't bound to a wage economy, constantly working on the language. That's why I suppose the tribal economy, culture, and so forth, is looked at as that point to which, even say, the Marxists want to return. It's the notion, what is that primitive communism? What is the life of the tribe? Which was, in fact, a successful adaptation to the surroundings, up to a point. But anyway, a sign language poem. This is a found poem. It's from the Hidatsa, sign language shared by other Plains Indian groups. Turns up in a book published in about 1880 by a man named Garrick Mallory, Sign Language of the North American Indians, under the title Lean Wolf's Complaint. And this is my translation of it in my hands. Lean Wolf's Complaint. I'll do it first, just the gestures, and then I'll give a simultaneous translation. He was a chief of the Hidatsa, and they've been fighting with the Americans. Lean Wolf's Complaint. Four years ago, the white man, friends, with us, a lie, done, finished, that is all. Very terse. It's a terse series of songs. Actually, I make them more minimal than they are in the original. There are more changes in the music. And, originally, I had translated these from the Seneca, working directly with a Seneca Indian singer named Richard Johnny John.
had translated them visually onto the page as a kind of concrete poetry. But I found that some of the songs I could sing in some ways like the Seneca. And I want to shake a rattle and I'll do them with that apology. And then take a break, and then I want to move on to another series of poems that concern me in other ways. The ceremony that this comes from is a medicine ceremony that the Seneca call in English shaking the pumpkin. The pumpkin is a kind of big gourd pumpkin rattle. And I'm using instead of Seneca horn rattle, which I own. Medicine Society is called the Society of the Mystic Animals. People identify with the animals, you know, who are the sources of health and cure, from whom, you know, you don't separate yourself, ultimately. You don't destroy the animal in you. And these songs call the mystic animals into presence. So I'll do about nine of the opening songs for Shaking the Pumpkin.
The doings were
Swaha, heya. She drifts on as a water.
Wow.